clean. You gotta
keep it clean. Keep it clean and want all your wisdom.
It won't take long, guys.
So they're going to talk with you about 30 or 45 minutes tops.
Well.
Does that sound okay?
Whatever it takes.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jack.
How do we?
It should be on.
Okay,
ready
to
go.
All right.
Good luck.
Let's get a little bit of acquainted. Can we first? Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Whereabouts?
Brookfield. It's right in the Milwaukee area.
Okay. Now, how about you?
I'm from Malaysia.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm an international student here.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Drake's done a good job of reaching out to people.
Yeah. There's a lot of Malaysians
here. Do you have any friends, countrymen, people came from this place?
Yeah, there are a lot of Malaysians here, and all of them are majoring in actual science.
Good.
That's the actual science.
Good.
Drake offers really good actual science.
How far are you in school? Sophomore, junior?
Freshman.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Like Drake?
Mm-hmm.
Like
so
the morning?
Just starting to get used to it completely. So.
Good. I'm a native. I lived here all my life, so that's quite a few decades, you know. Mm. I have my 91st birthday next week.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready for whatever you got.
All right. Hello, my name is Matthew McGowan. Today is November 10th, 2011. We are here in Coles Library with Drake graduate Jack Watson. All right, for starters, what was your childhood like?
My childhood was really good. I'm an only child, born in Des Moines, born at home in Des Moines. That's kind of unusual these days. It was kind of unusual when I was born. I lived here all my life, except for World War II. I was the Air Force from 42 to 46, and that's the beginning. You want me to go any farther?
Yeah, you can keep
going.
Sure.
I went to school in Des Moines, grade school at Byron Rice, and we called it Calland, junior high, and now they call it middle school, Calland, which is here in Des Moines, and Roosevelt McGrath, 1938 graduate from Roosevelt High School. And I continued right on at Drake, had my 4 years at Drake, and on December 7th, 1941, we got awakened that our future is going to be changed. So we wondered how soon we'd be going to service, and I went in the early 1942 and was into 46. Got overseas to England. We were B-24s with the bomb group. We came back, those of us that made it came back, and I was home for Christmas in 1945, and the idea was our whole bomb group was changing from Britain to this country, going to B-29s, with the idea that we'd go into the Pacific. You know about the Pacific. We didn't get there because the war ended. That was good. The Grand Echelon did go and were our army of occupation for quite some time, but I came home. Do you know what 2 bits is? You know what 2 bits, if I say 2 bits?
Mm-hmm.
2 bits is a quarter. They used to, a long, long time ago, not in this country, but in other countries, they used to cut a coin in pieces. And 2 bits would be 2 of those little bits of a coin, worth a quarter. I worked thousands of hours for 2 bits an hour because the Depression was on. For my dad was at the Ford plant here in Des Moines. They closed the Ford plant, and he didn't realize how tough it was. He was a foreman there. They gave him an opportunity to go to Chicago, and he didn't think he wanted to leave Des Moines. He didn't know how tough things were. He was unemployed for about a year and a half. So I got a lot of experience of working whatever job I could get for make some money, carry papers, sold eggs from house to house, carried magazines, sold magazines. A good experience, though. I learned a lot. The Register and Tribune used to be the Register, the morning and evening paper. As a paper boy, I delivered papers to, I started and had a route that ended up with about 125 customers. And I would make 14 trips a week, 6 days for 12, Sunday would be 13, collecting would be 14. And they paid 25 cents for the newspaper in those days, for morning, evening, Sunday newspaper. My big profit was 5 cents. 14 trips doesn't sound very feasible, does it, today? It was a good experience, though. They talked about, this is good business training for a youngster, and it is. You learn a lot about people because there are all kinds of people. Some people who would, the guy would come to the door when you go to collect on Friday night, and he'd say, you have to come back because my wife pays for that, or other kinds of things like that. we paid for our papers. If I didn't collect or somebody moved out from the road, I ended up with paying for those newspapers because it was my experience. I made 5 cents of the 25 cents I collected. The rest of it, every Saturday morning, I got on my bike and rode down to Register, which is still in town. You know where the Register is, down on 8th and Grand, or 8th and Locust in Des Moines. And paid my bill and came rushing home for another job. While I was in college, I continued that really through pretty much through my junior year at Drake. Is it too much detail?
No, it's not.
Okay. Because I was carrying 235 Sunday papers. That's a lot of newspapers. They would get 40 in a bundle, a lot of newspapers delivered. But I was making as much part-time as many people at that time were making in a week's time. So I did really well. It helped my folks keep house going. Things were so different then, of course. My folks lived in my grandmother's house on 24th Street. The house next door, they were desperately trying to sell it. I bought that house for $600. My dad, I couldn't buy it, I was too young, but my dad, $600 for a lot. I don't know what that house would be worth now. It wasn't much of a house, but probably worth $20,000 or $30,000. The lot itself would be far more than I paid for it. I loved Drake. I had good experiences here. I could have been a better student. I was a B plus, but I had friends that were shooting for A's all the time, and I was busy with other things and didn't have that pretty push. But I got a scholarship to Drake, which I didn't use because I got involved with the newspaper right away, and I was circulation manager as a freshman, and that took care of. You know what the tuition was in those days?
Mm-hmm.
You have any idea? You won't believe it. $115 a semester. Everything else was equivalent. You have to realize that. We're talking about 2 minutes an hour, but that's what it was now. And I think of these young people in college now and what they're paying or what their debt's building up to. It's really a tough go. Mm-hmm. They have to find some way of taking care of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had wonderful experiences working at the Register, even though the money wasn't that great. I did about everything. I was a gopher. I did whatever they wanted to. I became a young guy. I started carrying papers when I was 13, and I suppose maybe by the time I was 15, I was working promotion down there part-time. And at that time, it was one of the biggest. In the Sunday paper, they ranked among the top 25 newspapers in the country, which is a relatively small town for that kind of reputation. So it had a great reputation. We covered the state. They used to call it the newspaper Iowa depends on that. They pulled in that. They only go from a golden area here in the central area, and so we don't have the full state. But in those days, it was glory days for the newspaper. I was fortunate in another way because I hadn't thought about what I was going to talk about today because I didn't know what your question is going to be, so I'll just ramble it, get me off this track if you want. I worked in promotion, and the boss of promotion told me one time, one of his employees' wives came up to him and said, "You know, you're in charge of the promotion department. I sure wish you'd do something for my husband. We don't make enough money." Well, that's a different thing. This was promoting the newspaper. I worked in promotion part of that time. And when I was there, they were still about to start Look Magazine. You may never have heard of Look Magazine, but they had started. Actually, they were starting at the same time that Life was. And they thought Look would be out before Life, but Life made it 1 week ahead of Look. The interesting part of that for me was that they had all these layouts. The magazine wasn't out yet. They're doing a little preparatory work for that. And the person that I really worked for was Vern Myers, who was at that time manager of the promotion department. He subsequently went to New York City and was publisher of Look. So I had a lot of great experiences because when wire photo, you know about wire photo? That's when they first transmitted pictures electronically. If you go to the historical building, you'll see a wire photo machine. It was really a miracle because we could stand and watch those pictures come off of that thing right off the machine. The Register, I don't want to talk too much about them. I had wonderful experiences there, but there's other topics to talk about too. Were well known in so many ways. They had a sports section called the 10-page peach section that they put out in the football season every year. And they had the good news number so-and-so. I think they had three or four good news plans. And they would send one of the guys actually was a photographer that flew it earlier. They hired a guy to fly that airplane to take them to the big games of the year. They'd fly to wherever, especially Big Ten games, they'd fly wherever that destination was, take pictures, come back, run back, and they'd write the story on the way. Are you in journalism by any chance? Either one of you?
I will be next.
You'll be? They'd write the stories on the way back, flying back, or call them in, depending on where they were and what the situation was. And it was a nationally known event. The 10-page peach was really something, and any sports person around the country would know about it because nobody did a better job in sports than they did, I think. After service time, I was in service. I rounded out my education a little bit because I was a liberal arts guy, and my major interest was history and English. And I had botany, a wonderful team of people in the botany department at that time. A person that subsequently became acting president, I think he was acting president. My goodness, George. He had an assistant named Faye Shawhan, and another person that... I'm not pulling out the name now, but they were like family, you know. I don't know if it's still like that in the classroom, but they were interested in you, and we got to know them so well, so it was a real fraternization at that time. That was the only science course I had. But going to the Air Force, I went into the GI in 1942, in the Air Force, and I had just finished college. I got my degree in probably end of May, and went in the service, and they were looking for people that had a degree that gave a little screening device to move them on. So I went to radio school and did okay in radio school, and they sent me to cadet school. Another great experience for me. I went from Scott Field, where I had the radio school, to Valley Forge Military Academy in northern Pennsylvania, northern part of Philadelphia, and had a great experience there because part of the country I'd never been in, and that was an interesting place to be. Then I got my commission at Yale, and that was a wonderful thing. If you like music, you know about Glenn Miller, right? Mm-hmm. Glenn Miller mean anything to you? Mm-hmm. He's a big band there, and everybody from my generation thinks that Glenn Miller kind of walks on. A lot of his tunes are still played. At Yale, we had Glenn Miller every noon and every night. His orchestra was there. He was before he went overseas. So when you're eating your lunch, you got the best band in the country playing for you, which was a real highlight. Later, while we were still there, he went to England, and he didn't last long because they crashed in the channel and never found him. Don't know what happened to him, but that's how he left the scene. Tex Beneke took over the band. Tex Beneke took over the band at Yale after he had taken off for England. And of course, he had his own. He headed up the band for a while after the war. I was lucky because I flew over to, we took the southern route to Europe. At that time we were fighting submarines and everything else along that coast. The Germans had a lot of subs that were downing ships. And some of the planes were going the northern route. We flew on our B-24. But we went the southern route, which took me through the Caribbean. We landed at Trinidad, we landed at Georgetown, no longer Georgetown, but in southern South America. We took off from Fortaleza, Brazil, and then flew overseas to Dakar, Africa, and then was in Morocco for a short time, over to Ireland and England. My dad was born in England, so it was a real treat he came over when he was 11 years old, to go back and meet some of his family, because I had two brothers over there that I met, and three sisters, plus a lot of cousins. So England has been a real focal point, like a magnet for my wife and I to go over there. It's a wonderful place to visit, and his family there was very special. I had no particular experiences in the service, except I was glad to come back with everything that I left with, plus a lot more maturity. When I came back, I met a gal on a blind date, and that was in January. We were engaged in February and married in March, and That was pretty fast moving, but that's what the wartime did. When we were overseas, if you were gone for a while, they gave you 30 days of R&R, rest and rehabilitation. And we were going to Orlando, Florida, and that was a pretty good bait to have a honeymoon down there. So we went coast to coast, and then the war ended. So, and I just lost my wife last week. We were married 66 years, which is a long, long time. I wondered what I would do. I mentioned earlier that my life changed a little bit educationally because I added a scientific component because in school, in radar school, they, for some reason, were treating us like electrical engineers, and we did all the basic stuff, circuit design and so forth, which is way over my head. I made it through, but I scrambled through because it was I was with guys that had a lot more experience than I had. But I was able to pick up electrical training. I can wire a house now or do those kinds of things. No quitter, better out, stuff like this. Not the little ones, but I picked up that kind of stuff, and so I gained that kind of education. When you're married, and when you have a house, you always have something to do around the house. And we bought a house, and they needed a new chimney, and they needed a lot of stuff, so I went to the library to get a book so I could, when we finished up, I could do about anything fixing up a house, too. I came back and went to the register. I got a register and Tribune scholarship, too. I didn't use it because of my connection with Drake. But when I came back, if you got a scholarship as a news carrier, you had a opportunity any time in your life to work at the register. So I thought, well, let me come back. I love Des Moines. When you grow up in a place, you don't appreciate quite so much until you see other places. There are pluses and minuses every place I was in my various journeys. Another story. I was going to say I spent a lot of time in Mexico on my own. But the opportunities I had were really great. I enjoyed the register. I was there for only about 9 months. I had a new boss, and I was always pretty easy to get along with, but he was a tough nut for me to crack. So I left and went to Bankers Life. And with that firm, it soon became Principal Financial Group, I was there for 39 years. So that was my basic career. I started out in the advertising department, promotion department, and ended up heading up the individual insurance department and the equities area, the mutual fund operation. And I retired in 1985, and I have had opportunity to be back at Drake for lots of reasons. I'm on campus right now because we've had a whole semester this fall of the thing called the Ray Society. Bob Bray was governor here for a long, long time, did many things about Des Moines that could make a whole story about that opportunity. But Bob, it's named for Bob and Belly Ray. It's a lifelong learning group. They have a curriculum in the spring and a curriculum in the fall, and I attend classes here. Nice to be back on campus for that. We have our own room now in the Dial Building, and I don't know if you remember the Dial Building. It's just behind it's on Carpenter, just off of 25th Street. And we also use other space. So we had a meeting today, which I couldn't go to, at the church across the street in 25th Christian Church. It was taught by Tom Root, who's a fantastic economics teacher. I don't know if you bumped into him yet. He's a terrific guy. He said he learns from us. We sure learn from him. He's just a wonderful, enthusiastic, and well-educated guy. That brings us about up to date. I do a lot of volunteering. My wife is a consummate volunteer. She never worked after we were married because we agreed that her role could be at her desire to just do whatever she could to help people. And so she did that. And I did some of it, but not nearly as much as she did because I was trying to bring some money into the house or keep the groceries on the table. And would you like to go any farther, any deeper, different topic?
We were wondering what highlights do you remember from your first week of classes at Drake?
Say that again.
What highlights do you remember highlights from your first week of classes?
I had the most wonderful history teacher, Ethel May Jones. She was a good teacher, and One of the best experiences I have. I just tried to think of George's last name. George Huff was the biology teacher. Lee Johnson was his right-hand person, and the facial hand was with him. Those three were a terrific group. A young lab assistant who now is at Wesley Acres, where I live, he's in the health center there, was a lab instructor. She was 3 or 4 years older than we were, and having a contact with her now is a real plus, because she's a Des Moines person too. I didn't know her until I met her in the lab thing. The funny thing about lab, I'll never forget part of that lab. We cut apart earthworms and other things, and I had a cat that we were cutting apart just before lunch. And if they're still doing the same way, you get a lot of formaldehyde in your fingers when you're working with cutting up a cat. It doesn't make it a lunch particularly appetizing. Funny, which I think I've had thought of that for a long time. But biology class was wonderful. The phrase facial, and we had a wonderful person on campus by the name of Paul Helmick. He was a physics prof. Because I was interested in journalism, man, I wanted to know more about cameras and stuff. He had a photography course that I took from him, which was one of the highlights. We had a retired prof that did some seminars. His last name was Smith, J. Worthington Smith, I think it was. Worthington was his middle name, who taught that class. That was one of the highlights. This was such a friendly campus. I think it still is a friendly campus. A guy by the name of Friedrich was the drama teacher. When you're in journalism and working in a newspaper, you get around and meet an awful lot of people that the average student doesn't meet. I was editor of the Delphic in my senior year, and I can say this, that the Delphic now is 10 times as good as it was when we were in school. I did do a great job with the Delphic. Are you working on the Delphic, or you will be? You will be as a friend. Are you doing anything? Now you're taking classes, but you're not on the Delphic yet?
Mm-hmm.
What's your major?
Actuarial science.
Am I?
Actuarial science.
Okay, good for you. Hey, you're something. You right came to the right town, you know that? I mean, this is the heart of actuarial science.
Yeah.
Huh? All these companies. I worked at Principal and Bankers Life. They had more actuaries. The nice thing about an actuary is that you learn all phases of the business. I don't know where you are in yours now, but you must be pretty good in math, or you wouldn't be an actuary. Math and statistics are kind of important. Well, that's good. Well, better put your application at Principal, because it's a wonderful place to work. And it's a great company. They got some bad publicity this past week. I don't know if you saw that. They got a $21 million assessment from the federal government because they supposedly were not completely revealing the stuff and the things they bought. Mm-hmm. They got clipped for $21 million, and Wells Fargo got clipped for about twice that much. Not very good publicity for a company that really has one of its core values is integrity, but. Mm-hmm. I think there must be some extenuating circumstances. I don't have many contacts at the company anymore because I've been gone since 1985. My best one is the CEO, and that's a pretty good one to have. Larry Zippelman is an actuary, and he worked for us in compensation stuff when I was involved there, so I know him, and he knows me by name, which is a plus. But when I went to Bankers Life, there were 500 people. When I left, there were 7,000.
Wow.
Had a lot of growth. They've dropped off some lately because I don't know where they stand now. Nationally, I think they've got between 12,000 and 16,000 people, but they cut off a couple of their business. They got out of the health insurance business, got out of the mortgage business, and so some of the people, but they didn't lay them off. Some got laid off, but the objective is to put every one of those persons back in a position. They've done a pretty good job of that. Okay, where do you go from here?
You talked about how you were involved at the Times Delphic. What other activities were you involved in on campus?
Not much. When you're working, and I had a lot, but the Delphic was a pretty full-time job. You were responsible for getting out a newspaper. I was on the Delphic. I was circulation manager, freshman, and then doing other kinds of things until I think I was managing editor my junior year, and then was editor the senior year. Let me tell you a couple of incidents about the Delphic thing that you'd be interested in. Where was I on Pearl Harbor Day? I was working in the Delphic office on that Sunday. Got a phone call and said, "Did you hear the news?" No, we didn't have any news radio there or anything like that. And they said, Pearl Harbor got bombed. And I said, I didn't know the person. I said, are you sure about that? Yeah, he said, we're sure. They surprised everybody, and we lost a lot of battleships and those things. So that's when we got the wake-up call that changed our future. Another interesting thing, does Steve Allen mean anything to you, that name? Steve Allen was a comedian and got a lot of publicity. He was in the theater. He was very creative. He wrote many songs. He did lots of things. But he was a young freshman. And one morning, under the door, I had in the Adelphi office, a note from this freshman who said, here's a column. I'd like to have you use it if you can, and if you want to talk about it, call me. Of course, I didn't know who Steve Allen was. Drake is very proud of knowing Steve Allen now because he was very good to Drake in many ways, and he became a nationally known figure. I think he's dead now, I'm not sure. But that's why I bumped into him, and he's a very creative guy. We ran his column because he did it week after week, and he was critical of me at one point because he says, you know, you put the little bold-faced lines in between and the subheads. And I said, yeah. He said, well, you're stealing my thunder. I said, what do you mean I'm stealing your thunder? He said, you're giving away my story. I said, that's to get the people in the readership so they read your darn stuff, you know. One little incident. Wonderful piano player. He'd sit down in the Bulldog here, Bulldog room down in it was then a new residential hall. I don't remember the name of it, but he would sit down there and play piano for the guys and it was an interesting episode. You've heard of the Gallup poll? Mm-hmm. Gallup poll was one of the early polls. And George Gallup was probably one of the best poll persons, getting people's opinions, interpreting them, and getting that stuff out. In the nation, the Gallup poll is still going, I think, under a new name. And he heads up the journalism department here. I think he went from here to Iowa City, but he started the poll. The whole poll idea was generated right here at Drake University. And I thought that was a plug for Drake. Another person, and I hadn't thought about this for a long time, is a philosophy prof. Not a philosophy prof, a psychology prof. And he invented an eye camera that advertising people got interested in because he developed a process where they could take pictures of a person to see which part of the paper that I fell on first. He came up with a lot of philosophies that helped newspaper makeup people, where they read the column from headline, little stuff, but important to advertisers. And it should be important for editorial people, too, because where you put the stories makes a heck of a difference. The advertising people liked it because they could get some inputs about where they should put their ads and what appealed to people. I can't remember his name. But one of the great persons on campus was killed, a prof, Stalnecker. There's a Stalnecker Hall, I think. He was a guy in philosophy class that he would take one side of the argument and kill you. He'd take the same one that he killed you on, he'd kill you on the other side of the department. One of the really, John Torgerson is just retired. I don't know, you wouldn't have known about him. He just retired. He's a good guy, too. I don't know if he could match Stalnecker because I have strong feelings about him. Other things about Drake. I mentioned Paul Helmick's name and his son. Did the commons out here. There's a Helmick name tied in with some of the stuff they did here. It was his son. His wife also taught. I had an economics prof where the husband and wife taught. Dean Hoffman taught economics when I was here. Drake used to be known for its fine arts. And not too long ago, within the last, time goes so fast, I would say a dozen years, maybe 10 years, they no longer have a fine arts deal. They've tied that in with a liberal arts function now in one deal, which I don't think has diluted the program at all. It was a catastrophe, many people thought, because they liked the distinctive fine arts aspect. They developed a lot of good pianists. They developed a lot of good singers. Cheryl Mills was a baritone with the Metropolitan Opera, started right here. a friend of mine, I didn't know him at that time, but later became known, was dean of fine arts. He was an organist, Frank Jordan. His wife, Alice Jordan, a Des Moines person, has music all over the world where she's made arrangements for hymns and sacred music. They were very proud of that activity. When I was on school, President Morehouse was still here, and he was one of the early presidents of Drake, and he was an astronomer, and he found the Morehouse comet, which was very important at that particular time. It's interesting that I reached back that far. I don't know where to go from here. I've told you about all I can think of, especially off the top of my head.
Have you stayed in touch with friends that you made while you were at Drake?
Have I done what?
Have you stayed in touch with friends that you made while you were at Drake?
Oh, yeah, sure. Some of them are dead. My mother lived to be 104, so I've got some good genes working for me, but many of them have died. I'm still in touch with the wife of the managing editor when I was there. Jim Crawford, his wife's still living. I'm in touch with her. She lives in California. I still have other contact. Paul Morrison was in school, and that's the name I know. You know, I got a phone call from him and cards from him when my wife died, because we've been friends for a long, long time. Paul lived forever, I think. He's never driven a car. You can't believe that these days, can you? When he retired, they gave him a new car. He parked in his car. His wife was dead then, and I think she was. Anyway, he got the car. He never drove it. He still doesn't drive. He either bums a ride with somebody or rides public transportation or taxi cabs. When I came to campus, we went to a chapel, and his dad, they lived in Cedar Rapids, his dad was on the stage at a pep rally, and what now is the auditorium. It was our chapel area then, and he was leading a pep rally at that particular time. So Paul, the Morris family has been around this place for a long, long time. And Paul's a legend, you know, that he's been around, they call him the historian, but he retired. He wouldn't retire. I don't think they're paying him, but he's still got a place on campus. And he goes to every football game.
Yeah.
Pays his own way, goes to basketball games. He and Don Adams, does that name ring a bell with you? Don Adams retired. He did retire. He would have been in class with me this morning. Don Adams was the vice president, had a lot to do with student relations, and he retired maybe 2 years ago. Okay, do I have anything left in that area? What were we talking?
Could you explain for us some memories that you have of your graduation ceremony?
Not too many. We lined up with our caps and gowns and went from Old Main to the Christian Church. The graduation was at the church on 25th University. And I remember that probably because pictures I've seen. I guess I and many others, fellows especially, weren't thinking too much about graduation. We were thinking about what's next, where are we going to be a year from now or 6 months from now. But I've been an active alum. We had a 50th and 60th reunion. I had up to 60th reunion. I don't think they've ever had one since. They can't find anybody to take that job on. But have you ever been in the alumni office? No real reason for you to be there. They've got their own location, of course. But a very friendly group, and I got a lot of really good friends in that I've known for a long, long time. One of the gals who edited the Quacks, and we were good friends, still a good friend. She lives in Chisholm, Minnesota. That's in the Iron Range area, northern Minnesota. Her name is Vita Ponikvar, and I've got her phone number. I've got to call her again because she's had some health problems. But you're close to so many of those people. You're established. There's a lot of Des Moines people I still know. I went to high school with some of these people. Roosevelt High School in Des Moines has some kind of a kinship. These people have some kind of a kinship with each other. You find them all over, and they do get together for various events. I don't know if that's true of other towns. It's not really true of any other high school in Des Moines, I don't think, but the Roosevelt people really I was an ATO at Drake, so I didn't get in the fraternity until, I was too busy with other things, until maybe my junior year, but I was ATO, not even on campus anymore. But better get another topic for us.
What words of advice would you have for this year's graduating class?
This year's graduating class? Keep going to school. Keep getting educated. You never get too old. Learning is a lifelong thing. I'm 91. I'll be 91 next week. And I still have a burning desire to learn. That race society fulfilled that. I was taking care of my wife for about 8.5 years when she had the Alzheimer's thing, so that slowed me down a little bit. Give yourself away. You get back rewards far greater than you got if you give yourself away. Help other people. Look for the people in need. Help some people that need a hand and teach them to pass it along. If somebody has a need and you can stretch a little and give them some money or give them some help with books or whatever it would be, pass along the word that I'm doing this for you because I expect you to pass it along. That's an important philosophy. This world is in bad shape in many ways because people don't have the fraternization of the interest in each other that they should have. I foresee the day when that will come. I won't live that long, but I think that if the world doesn't learn how to get together, the various nations of the world, we aren't going to have much of a life for anybody. We have a great opportunity. I just helped a girl. I had help. I did the thing with Lois completely for 3 years, and I kind of wrecked my arm because you're holding and lifting. I could handle them here, but then when she clumped us on the kitchen here, the leverage is bad, and I got tennis elbow in both arms, and I couldn't do it, so we got gals in to help. And I helped one of the girls get some additional education. And this is a gal that is smart, lots of very smart, street smart, but also other kinds of smart. She didn't finish high school, but she'd gotten her GED before I met her. And you know what that is, where you get complete your education. She had her high school education out of high school. And she was satisfied with the status quo. Things were okay as they were. And she was in a rut. And I let her know that. And she was so good to you. I helped her go to school. And she thanks me now because she's a different person. And I had nothing to do with that except maybe make her understand that if she really wanted to have a life, she needed more education. She finished at Kaplan. I went to graduation. Proud of her. And she had her first job interview yesterday or the day before. And she thinks she got the job. So now she's really walking into it. And she knows, because I helped her, she has an obligation to help somebody else. I've got a young fella that bought our house when we moved from West Des Moines to West Wesley Acres, where I live, a retirement community on Grand. He came over to house for dinner one night. He bought our house, they say, and so we had a little bit of connection. And he said, I need some advice. And the bottom line was he couldn't read. He finished at Valley High School, which is one of the best high schools in Des Moines. And how a person can finish high school and not read it. I said, what do you mean you can't read? He said, I can't read a job application. Can you imagine that? Somebody that's gone to high school for 4 years can't. How do you ever get that far without reading it? I was surprised. Well, how do you? He worked at True Value Hardware at 63rd and Grand. I said, how do you operate there? Because he'd do anything. I memorized everything. He's smart enough to memorize stuff. He's smart enough to do something else. I said, well, what price are you willing to pay? He said, boy, if I could learn to read, I think I'd be a new person. So he was old enough. He said, I think I'd be a little embarrassed going to school with kids. I could see that too. So I had a friend that was in charge of adult education, going to school system, and talked to her. And she said, well, Chuck's mother-in-law, and that's her son's mother-in-law, has done that. She just retired. So I got in touch with her. In 6 months, he was reading perfect. In 9 months, he was reading at college level. Just a matter of being applied. Mm-hmm. He thanks me all the time for what I gave to him. But he's also doing the thing. I had my 90th birthday. He gave me $90. He said, I want to bounce you living so I can give you $100 next year. I said, well, what do you want me to do with this? I'm not going to take it from you. He said, no, you've got a better feel for what to do with that kind of money than I have. Give it to somebody that really wants a need. when my wife died, he came over with his daughter and gave me $100. He can't afford to pay $100. And I said, come on, hold back. He said, no, invest this for me. And I said, what would you like to do? He said, I'd like to honor Lois, that's my wife, by either get a tree or some plant. We got wonderful flowers there. We got a nice courtyard that we put some flowers in there for Lois or do something else so that that place will be more beautiful. So it's a catching kind of thing. So those are really key things. They're more important than the money you make. They're more important than the publicity you get. The headline I put on my wife's deal, four little lines. They'll remember her because of her smile and what she did to help other people. That was Lois. If you want to put in a few words, that was Lois. And people who knew her knew how true that was. We think too much of ourselves. There's too much self-gratification. I want it today. I want to worry about debt and those kinds of things. I'm scared for the kids in college today. They get a debt burden. I'd be scared if I had that kind of a debt burden. Are you working?
Not yet. Only in the summers.
Summertime. Are you working?
No.
Yeah. You're here on scholarship?
Yeah.
Yeah. We help start that thing for college students and give them a free ride if they continue to do a good job. That's a big deal. Free ride. That was everything. I don't know if they're still doing that or not. I was on that committee for a while. What else? Take advantage of the opportunities you got while you're in school. If you don't, you're going to regret what you didn't do. I told you I could have been a better student. I don't know if I could have been, really. I didn't have that much time. I thought I didn't have that much time. I know I could have done a better job. I could have done a better job in my job. I thought I did a good job. I was the senior vice president down there. I could have done a better job in that job. As you sit back and think of what you could have done. I think that's true of all of us. So try to take care of your potential while you build on your potential you've got. Take advantage of what you've naturally gotten. You know, the smartest guys aren't the guys that get fired. It's the guy that uses his noodle and works hard and has a people person. That's the other thing. I think one of the best talents a person can have is to have a good personal relationship with other people. Human nature. Some people can get along with other people. Some people are lousy at that. The best engineer in the town won't go as far as a pretty good engineer has got a good people connection. I see that over and over and over again. I hired a lot of people. I had probably 1,000 people working for me at one time. I hired a lot of people, but the outstanding ones are the ones that can get along with people and know how to handle people. Anything else?
That covers it.
Does it?
Yeah, thanks for
coming. Sure, nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck to you in your own careers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Terrific that you're here. Would you write your name down on those sheets and put your, if you got an email address or whatever it is?
Oh, okay.
And would you just give them that half the sheet of paper? Matt, what was your last name?
McGowan.
McGowan? And where did you grow up?
Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Mm-hmm.
What you came from Malaysia?
Yeah, it's right above Singapore.
Okay,
say.
Yeah. You know, principal has been very smart.
Mm-hmm.
They went global. They were very successful in the pension business. And their objective when I retired was to do the same thing globally that we were able to do in the pension business, and they're doing pretty good. They're involved in Singapore and China and India and South America and doing remarkably. Did you put your email address down there? Yeah. Anybody in college not use a computer? Does anybody in college not use a computer?
Everybody has one.
I can't live without one.
Yeah.
I can't these days with all the information you've got on the computer.
This is small.
Yeah, yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
How long you had it?
Actually, this is my friend's one. My computer was broken. I mean, the screen was there's crap all over the screen, and I get it by next week. So right now, I'm borrowing from my friend.
Yeah, that's good. I'd appreciate that. I'll send you an email, you'll know what mine is, but I'll send you mine. And if you got something to say to me anytime, let me know. If I can help you in some way, let me know. If you get in a jam, if you want to talk to somebody, if you want a good meal, let me know. I'd like to have you 5 minutes if you're interested. You got plenty of opportunities. Boy, that's a real name, isn't it? Matthew McGowan, Wisconsinite. A real good friend of mine that We had the memorial service right here in the reading room at Drake. Bob Spiegel. Bob Spiegel was a journalist, a real excellent reporter. He got mad that called it, when they talk about investigative reporter, he said, "You're not a reporter if you're not an investigative reporter." He was on the Tribune here for a lot of years, and then he went to, are you at school? Something, am I holding up? Have you got,
no.
Have you got any, I don't want to hold you up.
Mm-mm.
I've got a lot of work to do between now and bedtime, too. But Spiegel was an unusual guy. He was a Phi Beta captain's junior year. That's tough. He was always shooting for A's. That's good. He was smart enough to go. He had three kids, and they got some of his deals. Two of them were, one's a cardiologist, one's a combination pediatric and a neurologist. And the other one was a Harvard grad for law, so those kids had good education, too. But Spiegel became editor of the Globe Gazette in Mason City, it's in northern Iowa. And then he moved over to Madison, Wisconsin, and was head of the State Journal. I don't know what to do. I don't know if you've read the State Journal or the Milwaukee paper. You're close to Milwaukee, maybe, in the hour of Sam Madison. Fantastic newspaper guy, and became an expert editor. Was always so meticulous about everything. He was smart, as they say, and he did a good job as a writer. He did a job of managing a newspaper. He did a good job of layout. He's very interested in the layout of the publications work. Tremendous friend. He was one of these guys that flew around to get information on the 10-page peach I was telling you about. He'd fly around with these guys, get the story, and bring them back. And they got, and here they had a display of the Johnny Bright pictures. You've heard about Johnny Bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody at Drake should be hearing about him. He was with that crew when they got those pictures of this guy slugging Johnny Bright. He unfortunately lived in Florida. He lost his wife in an auto accident and lived alone for probably 10-15 years and died. And his boys, I've been close to his three boys, said the logical place, Jack, to have that service is at Drake, because Bob had so many friends at Drake. He wrote the Relay's 50-year history, the 75-year history, and just had finished the 100-year history when he died. He didn't get down. He didn't make the 100th anniversary, which is, what, 2 years ago now, I guess. Fantastic. Everybody. Paul Morrison. You ask Paul Morrison about Spiegel. If you ask anybody in the athletic department about Spiegel, they all know him because he was a track buff. I haven't missed a Drake Relay's since I was in grade school, except the time out in the service. I started to have a shuttle race that we ran in sixth grade. And it's kind of like a trend or tradition. If you're Des Moines, and track is important. Track not important to a lot of people, but Des Moines people have an interest because we have great relays here. When did you come to this? Did you just start in September?
Yep. Did
you start in September? So
yeah.
You haven't been here for a Drake Relay.
Mm-hmm.
But you heard about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
April, last weekend in April, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a nice deal. Sure, nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
I hope
it's
been a good experience for me. It's always nice to be. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right.
Okay? After I get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear from me, you know I'm a phony, right? You'll hear from me. Well, she was nice enough to get. I didn't touch this one. Draw for it.
You can have it.
If you want.
All right.
I won't be using it, no, thank you. Did you get what you wanted?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What do you have to do with it?
All of history project means that we need to interview alumni of the Drake, and then we just need to transcript. So we just need to, so that we can know a little bit more about Drake in the past.
Okay.
And then it'll be
That was your objective. I should have read this stuff more carefully, but I feel good about Drake and have such great memories. I'm still involved. The Race Society I helped start, five, six of us, I guess, involved in starting the thing. We got 400 members. Every spring we had this wonderful, we had 21 classes this fall. I get hungry. I couldn't get out much. The only outside stuff I had the last 3-4 years is Drake with the Race Society. I'd like to do more, but it's a full-time job to have a wife. And I loved her. She was a wonderful, wonderful person. I was lucky that way. Nice to be with you guys.
Thank you.
Good
thank
luck
you
in your school career, and I hope things work out great for you. How often are you going to be able to go home?
I'm not sure. Maybe once in 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. Next summer.
So you miss family, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to be away.
Yeah,
we have for our helpers, we have a bunch of women. I hadn't had enough. We had five different women at the end that were going. They weren't there all the time, but from 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, from 5 in the night till 9 at night, that took care of all the bathroom, the feed, and that stuff. And so it gave me some chance to get out a little bit, but I was really responsible, and I didn't want to leave. Drake has a wonderful thing. They have a annual major dinner. If you give a little money to Drake, regularly you get on that. I haven't been able to go to that. I could have gone, but I just don't want to. I didn't want to go with my wife's situation. Same thing is true at the hospital. I was on the hospital board for Iowa, Iowa Methodist Hospital for 25 years, and they have a wonderful dinner every year. I pass that up. And I'm a people guy. I love to go to those things for socialization, but my socialization was at home. That's where my obligation was. I really love your jacket. Isn't that a pretty jacket you got on?
Yeah, I see a new jacket in the bookstore.
Yeah, it's pretty. Pretty. Yeah. You got it. You bet he paid $5 for that, don't you?
Yeah.
Sure, nice to meet both of you.
Yeah, yeah, thanks again. And thanks good very luck. Much
for
coming.
Good luck, sure. Good luck. How did you meet this wolf?